Welcome, everyone, to the December 20th version of the Zuch and Wild podcast. And before I get started, I just have two things to say. Number one, thank you, everyone, who tuned in to the Settle Down award show. That was a great award show. A lot of laughs on the live. Make sure you check that out on the YouTube. And for the people who are watching, and if you're only listening and you just heard that cough, we have a special guest because it is the first. We do have the college football playoff starting today, continuing tomorrow. So we brought in the ringer. Cody Voisin is going to be joining us for this show. Our resident Sooner fan that we allude to all year. Cody, how are we doing? Are you as fired up as I am for this show?
I'm more than fired up to be on. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm ready to talk some college football, man. It's going to be a great, great playoff bracket. I think it's going to be a lot of excitement. You know, a lot of teams you're not used to seeing, you know, sometimes at the top. So I'm excited to see what happens this playoff run. But, yeah, let's get into it. I'm excited.
Yeah, so we got a great show for you guys. We're going to be diving into every single game from this first week. Also doing our classic list segment, as well as doing our semifinal predictions. And if one of the boys is feeling a little, maybe they got some cojones, if they want to give their national prediction for the champion out now. National prediction, national champion prediction out now. They can. Personally, I'm going to reserve that. Got to see how a couple teams play. But I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on, before we jump into the games, the Heisman Trophy was awarded last weekend. Travis Hunter, closest race in Heisman history. Kind of want to pick your brains on kind of the discourse, Zuch. I know you've kind of been alluding to it all year, where it's like two things can be true. It's like, you can think Ash and Jenty deserves to win, but like, it doesn't make Travis Hunter just the worst player in the world, like some people on Twitter might have you think.
Yeah, and we've been saying all year, he's a group of five guy. It's not gonna happen. That's why I didn't ever really get into it with people, because, like, first off, all the Colorado and Boise fans arguing with each other, if the players were swapped, they'd be doing the same thing. That's why I was like, it's stupid just to be like, oh, Travis Hunter sucks. Ashton Gentry plays just Mountain. They're both really, really good players. But Ashton Gentry plays at the G5 level. When you play at the G5 level, I mean, we've seen guys before with outrageous stats who didn't win the Heisman Trophy, and that's how it – there is a level of power in all sports, but specifically in college sports. For example, if North Carolina is 18-14 and South Dakota State is 31-3, but South Dakota State didn't win their didn't get the automatic bid by winning their conference tournament in the Big Sky or whatever they're in, Summit, whatever it is, North Carolina is going to get that spot the nine times out of ten. Tournament. Like, yeah, like it's that's just how it is, and that's sports. All sports at the end of the day are storyline and entertainment based. That is what it is.
I 100% like. I'm with you. I personally would have had Ashton Gentry as my Heisman. I got some stats for you guys if you give me a sec. Is actually way closer than I thought. So obviously the Heisman's like on the point based voting. So it's like X amount of points for first place, X amount of points for second place and third and so on. And Travis Hunter at 2,231. Ashton Gentry 2017. It's honestly like really impressive that Ashton Gentry even got it that close. I think the thing that Ashton Gentry I think should have been taken into consideration more, and before anyone says anything, yes, I know this is an old man take, Cody, we got you, you're going to have some old man takes, but I have an old man take, and damn it, leading your team to the playoff needs to mean something for the Heisman, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know there's an argument, and we bring it up, and, you know, we don't want any more Jason Whites, and that's okay, you know, but damn it, you know, making the playoff means something. Am I right or am I wrong? Like, I mean,
I think usually yes, but I think it's devalued a little bit when there's 12 teams now.
Fair.
Like, and I'm not saying that's like right. I just think it's like if it was a 4-team playoff, you wouldn't have that argument, right? So I think people still use that against Ash and Jinty in a way. Like, it's, and it's like I said, I mean, Jordan Lynch had like fantastic stats and didn't win the high. And if the 12 team playoff had existed during that year that Jordan Lynch, they played in the Orange Bowl,
that was a bad Orange Bowl. Holy moly.
NIU would have been in the playoff, but he still wouldn't have won the height. Like, it's just, it's more of a popular, I mean, to me, it's obviously a popularity contest when there was like 12 ballots, right, that didn't have either of them on it, which doesn't really what they need to do is redo how it's voted for. Until then, a G5 guy isn't winning the thing. He's just not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I, with Diego, with his old man take, I think leading, you know, obviously it's an individual award, leading your team to a conference championship and a playoff berth, given the rules and, you know, different format of playoffs now being 12 team. I think it has to mean something to me. You know, I watched Travis Hunter a lot over the season and he did some phenomenal things, but I think there was obviously, you know, with Zuch and everybody else, there was some sort of popularity there. There was one game that I specifically just thought that this was just kind of pushing towards that popularity agenda. He's playing Utah and he made a phenomenal catch in double coverage. It was a fantastic catch. The next drive, he gave up a 20-yard out and then a 50-yard bomb to the same wide receiver. Announcers didn't say a word, didn't say who got torched, nothing. They just said Utah goes on, and now they, you know, bringing it close back to the, you know, bringing the game close back. But then he makes that phenomenal catch, and then he's, oh God, give him the Heisman. And I'm just like, I know the broadcasters, they have a certain points that they have to hit, and I'm sure they're told it's certain things that they gotta, you know, it all works in. But there is times where I'm like, the whole argument with, oh, it's an individual sport, I was like, you can't tell me right now that if Ash and Jenty went and played Wyoming and we lost, but he still had 160 yards and 3 touchdowns, that they wouldn't be saying, oh, it's over. It's over. Yeah, he lost to Wyoming. Like, you can't be saying that. They're gonna say that. They're gonna use that because he's at a G5. So obviously, yep, there's gonna be more I think pressure going towards that point. But I don't know. With Travis Hunter, I feel like Dion, and I mean, with the 12 team playoff, yet again, it goes back to it should have been easier for them to get in. To be honest with you, there's very, very a few games where it's just, you know, they lost in Nebraska, both Kansas teams. Posing for Heisman while you're down by 18 with your season on the line, in that moment, to me, that's not an impactful player.
There's the old man. Yep, there's the old man take.
You know, I'm sorry. Like, I know it's an individual sport, and but then it's like they lose, their season's damn near over. They go to some bowl game, and then he goes and plays 2-8 Alex Bowman, Oklahoma State. And then, yeah, rack it up.
That guy,
it's just like, why couldn't you do that in the other games? What about the other games that you lost? Instead of posing for Heisman, you should be telling your coach, give me the ball more. This both sides describe. Like, dude, you could have won more ball games if you're just like, yeah, Dion, I'm the best player, right? So give me the ball.
To be fair, though, I think that I think that's only used against quarterbacks when it comes to like, oh, like they, like, to me, as a cornerback, corner with a C, you're gonna get beat a couple times.
Sure,
like it's gonna happen, like. With quarterbacks, and you're still going to throw interceptions, but I don't necessarily think getting beat as a corner and throwing interceptions in a big game are the same. Like, I think, like, while a quarterback, like Jaden Daniels last year, he didn't make a play to win the Ole Miss game. They didn't beat Alabama last. Like, he didn't win any of the big games, and he still won the Heisman. Like,
that's fair.
It's – and part of it, too, I think, is you're going to start seeing a lot more. I don't know that necessarily you're going to see that many Heisman Trophy winners now that – like, next year, for example, you might see, like, which he's actually had a really good year, but like Cade Klubnik, someone like that might, but I think more often than not,
okay, why don't we tone it down? Cade Klubnik, you know,
he's had a better year than he did.
One of us are going to look like an idiot when this is clip next year, but yeah, no, how about I'll have 15 beers in 2 hours if Cade Klubnik wins the Heisman. That's how confident I am.
I guess what I'm trying to say is like, if Colorado was 12-1 and the 3 seed, I don't think Travis Hunter would have won it. I think Shedeur Sanders would have probably won it because he is the like.
That's fair.
The losses took Shedeur Sanders out because he is a quarterback. But if they were 12-1, I think he probably would have won. He was still in the running. He wasn't a top four guy.
That's fair. No, it's but that's very, like, very if, fair.
Like, and like Mariota had good stats. And who was the – I can't even think of who the four – oh, Cam – like Cam Ward, if Miami had been undefeated, I think Cam Ward probably would have – like could have won it too. But they were – like Cam Ward was up there for the – basically until they lost to – who was their first loss? It wasn't Syracuse. Who did they lose to before that?
Well, they lost to someone bad. I mean, it should have been Cal. I mean,
Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yeah.
So like that, the losses and that kind of thing hurt quarterbacks, I think, more than – and, yeah, you're right. Ginty, they would have said it's over for him too. But I think that's more of a G5 thing than a
Pittsburgh thing. Yeah, definitely. You can't discredit, you know, what he's – obviously he played a lot of snaps and he was on both sides of the ball. At the end of the day, as a Boise State fan, in the back of my mind, I always knew the guy was going to win it. Like you said, they weren't going to give it to a G5 guy, and there's a slight sliver of a chance that I was like, man, maybe the college committee will do the right thing. I don't know how much more you can do as an individual for your team and not win the award. And then it's like, well, what happens if he just goes off against whoever we play next? And it's just like, you know, I know the award's over, but I mean, there's going to be some people that are just like not. I mean, there's already people that are not happy with the award, and obviously that's going to happen either way. Whoever would have won it, but
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where then they like to bring the strength of schedule in. You know the Colorado and the Boise State fans. I was like, we can sit here all day, but I know the truth about the Big 12. I know the truth about the Mountain West.
Those arguments are what we call when people – that is called throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. That's when you know you're out of, like, real arguments, so you start just throwing stuff at the wall.
Oh, I love that. I think someone – I saw someone bring up, like, stadium size as one.
Yeah.
The
color of our field.
The
conference. The conference, the strength of schedule argument was just ridiculous. I'm just like, I don't know why people are even arguing about it. We can sit here and say all day that the Mountain West is shit. We can sit here all day and say the Big 12 is god awful. I was an Oklahoma fan. I am an Oklahoma fan. I know the Big 12 better than anybody. I can sit here and confidently say that it's not as good as everybody makes it out. They're like acting like it's like big, big, big time football. And it's not like we didn't just compete with Oklahoma State a few years back. It's like you put the top three teams in the Mountain West, I'm confident that they can compete in the Big 12. I think the Big 12, like it always been, it's just air raid, as many points as you can put up. And it's just, there's no defense. So it's just like,
and who was
the strength of schedule argument? I'm like, just stop it. Just stop it.
That
it's
is
over
fair,
with.
Cody.
It doesn't make any sense to me because I know both conferences, and you could say the Mountain West, the bottom half is garbage. It's garbage, okay?
All I'm gonna say is, you know,
we're tied for sixth place.
We'll head into these playoff games next, but I do agree with you on the Big 12, you know. Offense, no defense. Kind of like staring
it's
in the mirror to the team in Oklahoma, right? All those years,
and then we get to the big dance, and you play a team that can match your offense, and then at the end of the day, you know, our defense is just because that's the Big 12. Doesn't matter who you play. TCU, huge example. Look what happened to them when they played Georgia. They don't have a defense. There's no defense in the Big 12. I don't care what you say. You can bring up any schedule and tell me that it's under 50 points total. It's not.
Well,
it's not going to be.
I got some great news for you.
Even when Colorado blew out Oklahoma State.
No, because we're going to be jumping into these playoff games, and we're going to be going in chronological order. And the first game that we will be tackling is the game that will be on tonight, Friday. Indiana at Notre Dame. I got the spread right here, boys. I think this is one of the you know, when I saw this spread, I got Notre Dame at a 7-point favorite at the time of this recording, obviously subject to change until game start. But I was really surprised of that 7-point spread. And Zuch, I wanted to ask you, being like the closest thing we have to a resident Notre Dame fan, I haven't watched a lot of Notre Dame this year. Can Riley Leonard win a game himself? Or is it more of like a Notre Dame has a script, they pound the ball, they're going to kick your ass on defense sort of deal? Because the only thing that's worried about me for Notre Dame in this game is if somehow Indiana puts all the pressure on Riley Leonard, he's got to make throws that I haven't seen him make all year. Not saying he's not capable, but I haven't seen him make.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, as a kid, I was the kid who had to play like a champion sign in his room. So I used to watch Notre Dame, unfortunately, all the time. And they
were Rudy on repeat.
Heartbreak City for forever. And then they made the national championship. And it wasn't heartbreak. It was pure embarrassment when they got this.
Well, I mean, your star player, I mean, his girlfriend had just died. So, I mean, that you is, know, it's...
That is true.
His girlfriend had just died, so I mean, it's.
I feel like Cody wanted Matt Tateo to win the Heisman Trophy that year too. But
God, I love watching that guy play. That guy was just a bulldozer, dude. I mean, what was he? Wasn't he leading at some point in like interceptions or like?
Yeah, he had something a great year. Like he was playing for like, his dead girlfriend.
A wild stat, and then faked having a girlfriend, and it just was all over for him.
So I mean, I haven't watched a ton of them this year. Like, and I think they're kind of built to where you don't need, like, they're, and I'm not saying, like, player for player that they're Georgia or anything like that, but I think they're built in that same mindset as, like, a Georgia or some of the Alabama teams you've seen to where, like, whoever the quarterback is isn't detrimental to the team, like
the old AJ McCarron model.
Yeah, like it's the quarterback's there. You might need them to make a couple throws, but it's based on the run game, based on their defense. Like you're not Notre Dame's not gonna be trying to score in 2 or 3 minutes. They're gonna take 5, 6, or even longer minutes to score. So I think, in a weird way, I think it's a really bad matchup for Indiana, because I think that when we've seen Indiana this year play decent defenses like Michigan and Ohio State, that's the two biggest examples. And like Michigan was horrendous on offense, but Michigan's defense was pretty good all year long. Like, I mean, there are times they're just out on the field too much and they were going to give up points. So I don't necessarily think that, like, how Riley Leonard, I mean, if he comes out and throws 4 interceptions, yeah, they'll probably lose. But I don't necessarily think that he needs to, like, throw for 300 yards or anything like that. Like, let me pull up.
Yeah, that's what
I mean, he has 2,000 passing yards this year, so it's not.
My main quote for this game was Notre Dame should literally, it says, I think this could be a shit pumping, which means I think Notre Dame could shit pump in Indiana, and it's over by halftime. All dependent on if Riley Leonard isn't a fuck-up. As long as he doesn't have just total brain aneurysm, I think, because look, Indiana, it's a great story. Cody, I know you maybe playing devil's advocate with Indiana. I'm going to pass it off.
I'll
to
get
you
into
soon.
It a little bit.
I just don't think Indiana. I mean, I think they could cover that spread, that 7-point. Anything could happen in the playoff, but I just think Notre Dame is too solid. Like Zuch said, built in that old SEC model, line, run the ball, athletes at corner. It's my opinion. I think I got Notre Dame in this.
Sorry. What were you saying, Zuch?
I was just going to say, I pulled up the game logs for Riley Leonard, and he hasn't thrown for 300 yards once this season. But, like, Love is a great running back. And the thing is, I mean, that defense, like, even, and I know, like, the Northern Illinois thing is just so, like, the thing about the Northern Illinois is that's a really bad loss. And granted, they haven't had the toughest schedule this year in Notre Dame. I think, and this is what I get, where I kind of get mad at, like, this, like, look at your schedule, people. In theory, if you look at Notre Dame's schedule and you're like, okay, preseason, they have A&M, Louisville, Florida State, and USC. At least three of those are usually pretty, like, USC, A&M, Florida State are usually pretty good schools. So I know that, like, it didn't turn out that way. Florida State's horrible. Louisville's okay. USC's mediocre at best. But even still, like, the same things people have said about Indiana, like, oh, they've killed everyone on their schedule. Well, basically, so is Notre Dame. Like, they beat A&M by 10. They beat,
like, killed a good Army by, team.
Yeah, 35. They killed Navy. And it's not like Florida State was terrible, and Notre Dame won that game 52-3. So it's, I think they're, in a weird way, Notre Dame is maybe one of the most underrated teams going into the playoff. Like, we're starting to hear a ton about Tennessee. Georgia's getting a little bit of hype. Oregon. I think Notre Dame's kind of flying under the radar because people kind of expect the same old Notre Dame. Like, you're going to lose 30-3, and they might. Like, we'll see. But back to what your original question. No, I don't think Riley Leonard is going to be a big factor either way in this game.
Yeah, like, just piggybacking off of what Zuch said, I think, like you said, you know, Notre Dame's going to run the football. They have a massive offensive line every single year, and I think they're going to use that towards the, you know, their advantage. I think Riley Leonard, he's nothing special, but he's going to be called when he needs to be called upon, and I think he'll be able to make the throws. But like I said, I think there's, you know, time management, clock management, I think they're just going to run the football. But Indiana, man, I've been a low-key Indiana fan just because of how shit they are growing up, and I can't quit on them now. I think Cignetti is obviously kind of the right cocky man for the job. Like you said, you know, when they played Michigan, it was like a 15-10 game. They played very well first half. Their secondary, Indiana's secondary, is pretty solid, dude. Those cornerbacks are, you know, they stay sticky, so I think, you know, Notre Dame is going to have to run the football. But I don't think, I think Indiana's front, I think they're going to get bullied a little bit. I think it's just going to be double teamed a linebacker, and there's going to be a lot of big holes for that running back. Now you got Curtis Rourke on the other side. He's had a pretty decent season, at Indiana as quarterback. And, you know, other than, I'd say, the Ohio State game, and I might be, you know, just completely out of my mind saying this, I think it was kind of a fluke game for Indiana. I think they came in way in over their heads.
You might be the only guy in America saying that.
A little, yes. You gotta watch the game, though. The amount of times that I saw in one quarter, they shot themselves in the foot. Short field, punt return. Quarterback loses the ball in the red zone. Fumble, Ohio State's football. Another quick score right after that. It was back to back to back to back. And I think Indiana, with their strength schedule, wasn't horrible, but I'm not going to bring up strength of schedule. They did perform well. I think in Ohio State, I think they just shot themselves in the foot. I think they were in it way over their heads. I think they were like, man, we're Indiana football. We're finally decent. And then they just came in and just, you know, completely blew their head off. And I think Cignetti just kind of came in too nonchalant. He went to the basketball arena and said that they were going to kill Ohio State over the microphone. I think Cignetti, you know, he was in a little over his head first year at a big time program coaching, you know, Indiana. I think he just needed to settle down a little bit. I think this is a get back game for Indiana.
Are you talking yourself into?
I am.
There you go.
I'm picking Indiana.
You needed this. This is why we bring you on, Cody. Because
I can't stand. I'm sorry, Zuch. I can't stand Notre Dame. Both my uncles are Notre Dame fans.
I can't.
I hear about it all the time.
I can't speak for Zuch, but, like, I realistically probably have Notre Dame. If I had to put a number on the winning, I would take, like, the super spread, like the 12.5 point.
Yeah,
I think Indiana might
have. It could be like that. It could be like
116 yards of offense.
Yeah, it could be like that, or it could be, you know, no offense, but Notre Dame football, where they just kind of crap the bed and it's just big time, big moment, and they just poo. And it's like this Indiana team. No offense, but they ain't got nothing to lose. They lost their big game. Worse. This is the get back thing game.
The last thing I wanted to say is, if Notre Dame wears the black alternates, bad. Yeah. Cannot.
They announced they're wearing the they're wearing blue, gold, but the names are on the back.
And
the
it's jerseys. At you know South, it's in South Bend. You know those crazy Irish drunk fucks screaming. You know it's going to be a tough place for Indiana to play, but I truly believe, you know, I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Indiana's going to – this is a get-back game for Zignetti. This is a game for him to solidify, like, yeah, I did a damn good job. And, obviously he won the Big Ten Coach of the Year, I believe. And I think he's going to prove that on
that's fair.
Tomorrow against – or tomorrow or Saturday.
Today. Yeah, it's the Friday night game.
Friday night game, I think Signetti's going to come out a little bit more level-headed. He's going to tell the fellas, I think, just settle down and play football because he was in over his head going to Ohio State and playing. I think Indiana's going to get it done. Tell.
Well, let's now move on to the Saturday games, the first of the slate, SMU versus Penn State. I'm also really excited. The interesting thing about this game, on TNT, this is like it's on TNT and Max. So if you wake up and you can't find the game right away and you start to freak out, it's on TNT. Don't worry, guys, if you have YouTube TV. You might be seeing Charles Barkley talk about it later this week. But Cody, you got a lot to say about this game, and I'll just let you say a little bit because a lot of us have a lot to say about this game.
Yeah.
Who do you got, and do you think Big Game James comes out in this game? Do you think the buttholes get tight in Happy Valley? Buttholes get tight in State College.
I just don't see a way, rhyme, or reason for Penn State to lose that game. I think SMU, they've done a fantastic job in the ACC. They went to the championship, had a close game against, in my opinion, not Clemson, not the regular Clemson. Dabo prayed to God and got his prayers and made it out just alive against SMU. SMU, you know, I think they got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. First playoff appearance, you know, kind of a smaller school, you know, and they come in and they kind of flew under the radar and they just started sliding up into the rankings of the ACC. But wideout game, Penn State. They've never played in an atmosphere like that. I don't think they're going to be there. There's no way in hell. It's 110,000 people wideout. SMU has never played in front of more than maybe 40,000 people. Their stadium probably fits 35.
Zuge, I see you smiling. Are you?
There's just no way in hell.
A lot of what Cody's saying.
There's
right
just
now?
No way. There's just no way that SMU. It all revolves around that quarterback. He's mobile. He can move. But I'm telling you, you can score points. And I just think the size and the talent is just going to really show. And that crowd, dude, they're going to be false starting all day. False start. I don't care if they're playing Mo Bamba at their private facility practice field in Dallas. That ain't Dallas, buddy. You're playing it with the big dogs. So I feel like it's just not going to go SMU's way, unfortunately. But maybe I might be wrong. Who knows?
So, Cody, should SMU play a little – mind games and come out like shirtless for warmups, like specifically the offensive and defensive linemen? Should they come
if
out?
I saw as a Penn State offense or defense lineman, I saw my opponent with my shirt off, I'd laugh in their fucking face. I think there would be the funniest shit on planet Earth that a bunch of guys from Texas are like, yeah, I'm a real tough guy, you know, Mr. Tough over here. Let me take off my shirt and it's going to be 25 at kickoff. That's not going to do nothing for you, bud. Just warm up and get after it. We don't care about your muscles. You're going to have to play ball. And I don't think SMU is ready for that type of atmosphere. And that I wouldn't say necessarily type of talent. You know, Clemson was decent, but, you know, you're not playing Clemson. You're playing at Penn State. So the only break they get is that it's in the daytime. And that's not saying much. So, but, yeah, I got Penn State.
Under normal circumstances, I would be willing to pick Penn State in this. But Penn State really hasn't beaten anybody. Like, they don't have a singular signature. Like, who's Penn State's best win?
It's every year with Penn State. That's the problem. I mean, is they get a cupcake schedule. They lose to Ohio State. It's just a recipe for James Franklin
and Penn State. Illinois.
Yeah. It's bad. It's a bad win.
And SMU doesn't have much better, but I don't. I kind of think that Penn State is that team who benefits the most from being in the Big Ten. Yeah. Like, obviously, Ohio State can lose to Michigan, and like they're still going to be in the playoff. Me and Diego talked about it a couple weeks ago. If that had been Indiana who lost to Michigan and then lost to Ohio State, they probably wouldn't be in. In fact, I think Miami would almost definitely be in over them. But Penn State is like a brand name. But when was the last time, Penn State won a big game? Like, people give Notre Dame crap.
I agree with Zuch on that. Winning a big
game. They don't win big games.
Honestly, probably the Trace McSorley years. And that's why I'm kind of going back and forth on this game myself. You know, Penn State, Penn State, I think, has that SMU hasn't seen is they got some killers on defense, Penn State. Abdul Carter is going to be
those edge rushers for Penn State is legit.
They play sound, and if they can contain that quarterback, Jennings, the notes I have on this game are this.
It's over. If they contain that quarterback, it is over.
It is. Penn State needs to lean. This is a game that you just got to keep leaning because SMU is going to throw some punches. And you just got to eat them and just realize it. Think of it as a UFC fight. This guy's going to do his crazy Nate Diaz beat you up in the last 30 seconds and get the crowd going. And you got to realize, no, I'm the wrestler, ground and pound. I'm going to wear you out. And if you're SMU, you have to use shock plays to unlock big game James.
Yep.
Because you got to use those shock games, turnovers, 20-yard plus plays, big time touchdowns, maybe even go for two. Fake play. I don't know. You
things that are not. Yeah.
You need to make everyone in that stadium just get tight.
Yep.
That should be your goal. Is to
and make I, everyone. The in that goal stadium for both of tight. These teams should be. I'm not going to say you should look ahead, but you win this one, and you're a pretty decent. Specifically, Penn State. Like Penn State, if they win this one, will be a double-digit favorite against Boise State. So like the winner of this game gets the best draw probably outside of maybe, I don't know what a line between Arizona State and Boise State would be, but I think they're pretty similar teams to be quite honest with you. But like, I mean, I think there's a lot of, everyone's talking about the pressure on Ohio State and fair enough. I think there's a lot of pressure on Penn State too, because
a lot of pressure.
Penn State has the best draw to get to the semifinals, and it's not even close. And I'm talking purely about if you were a fan of any other team and someone told you you have to beat SMU and Boise State to go to the Final Four, you would, instead of having to play like Oregon, Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, Notre Dame, you would take that 100 times out of 100. So,
fair.
Penn State, man, also. This is a pretty big hole in their game. They're not a good – they can't stop the run. If I was SMU, I'd run the football. I'd establish the run 100%, dude. In Oregon, in Big Ten Championship, they had two separate running backs with over 100 yards. And that makes me excited if we play them, is because that's their hole. Is they're great on pass rush. They can get to the quarterback, but dude, they can't stop the run. I truly believe they can't. I mean, you stay sticky. They can't stop. And if I'm SMU, you're throwing them that, and you're throwing them trick plays. You're doing stuff that they're not going to see. You're going to do stuff that makes scrambled eggs in James Franklin's brain. That's how you get Penn State. If you want to win that game, you got to do something that's out of the ordinary, because you already don't have anything on your side. No offense to SMU. They just, other than having a chip on their shoulder. And Penn State, like you said, in my opinion, I can't stand Penn State. They come in every year ranked like third in the Big Ten. They get a great bowl game, and they play absolutely nobody. And then when their big chance comes against Ohio State, they lose. And then it's just every big game. So I don't know if this is going to be the James Franklin effect. And if he does, if he loses that game, I'm gonna be screaming, telling him to go back to Vanderbilt. Time for you to get back to those walk-on videos, pal. It's over for you. But yeah, Penn State. I got Penn State. I got to keep it with that, you know.
I'm going Penn State too. I fear what Abdul Carter might do to the opposing quarterbacks he might play in the next two games. He is a scary individual, and
dude, he's might so turn good.
Out I got Penn State too.
You know what I'm doing? I'm going right for that fucker's knees. If I was coaching offensive line for SMU, I'd be like, brother, you are a three-star. No offense, Cody, you are a three-star.
Cody, then it's time he's to top so athletic, lock. He's going to hurdle, and then he's going to look at
as long as
Jennings
you just tip
go,
him, just
and,
stop
and,
him.
And then he's going to look at Jennings and go, wah, 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 and just start
he's
going to
be
chops.
Like, what's his face? He's like, we got collard greens, fried chicken.
Grits, catfish.
Bad for SMU's offensive line is going to have their hands full. And if I were them, dude, I just have someone tip them off the line every single play. But Penn State, number 44.
Offensive lines is actually a great segue. Speaking of offensive lines having their hands full, we're going to move on to the second game on that Saturday. It's the Orange Battle. Clemson versus Texas. The Freakazoids of South Carolina versus the Freakazoids of Texas. Two rabid fan bases. Clemson obviously snuck their way in. I will get a spread to you guys real quick. 11.5-point spread in Texas's favor, the biggest one of the entire weekend, which is honestly surprising to me.
I'm not so surprised.
What I have for this game is I think Texas should cover. I think this should not be close. Texas defense can take control of the game. What I have is, and I want to get your guys' opinions on this, Clemson needs a Ewers shit the bed game to win. That is the only path. If I am the Lisan Al Gaib from Dune, and I can see the path forward, I can see the future, right? The future for Clemson, the only way they win is if Quinn Ewers has a shit the bed game.
How much, though, now that they've had a couple weeks to plan, which it hadn't. Quinn Ewers has just not been that good this year. I honestly think you might see a lot of Arch Manning in this game. So I don't even know that, like, I think if Quinn Ewers starts out, like we've seen him start out a few times this year, like 5 of 9 with a couple interceptions, I think Arch Manning might come in because if you bench Quinn Ewers now, you're not like he's not going to be back at Texas next year. He's either going to be in the draft or he's going to transfer. Like Arch Manning is starting for that team next year. So I honestly, and like there's been a lot of smoke there in general. Like he got benched in the Georgia game. Then you had the thing of like him entering the portal midseason. And I think there's probably like they came out and said, oh, it's not true. It's not true. I think there's probably something happened up there to where that got out. That doesn't just, to me, like blow up like that without there being a little smoke. So I think the Arch Manning run might be starting Saturday with the Longhorns.
Cody, what do you think about that?
If Quinn Ewers plays bad, starts out bad.
Yeah. When you were mentioning the game, in the back of my head, I was just like, if they're smart, they'd start Arch Manning. I think he's just way more versatile. He's a lot more exciting. I think he makes plays on his feet. Quinn Ewers, I think, is just kind of flat. In my opinion, I just don't think he's all that great. I think he just kind of does what he needs to do, and that defense is phenomenal. That's the best part of their team. That defense, like you said, Diego, they can take over that game, and I think they will. If they get pressure on that Cade kid, I think that secondary is too good, too, for Clemson's wideouts.
I think that secondary is phenomenal. I think might be the biggest mismatchup of the first round.
Yep, 100%.
Those Texas DBs versus Clemson wide receivers. Big. There's a reason why Dabo broke his no transfer policy this year to go get one of the best FCS receivers. That receiver unit, which used to be the Clemson standard, guys like T. Higgins, Mike Williams, DeAndre Hopkins, it just hasn't been there this year. And even last year for that. It's just
I don't think Clemson's Clemson this year. I truly believe that they're gonna lose by at least two scores.
I also got Texas winning this game. But man, it would be funny to just see Sark lose his mind, wouldn't it? That's the sicko part.
Yeah, he's like, hitting the bar if he loses. That man's done.
Let's hope not, because it'll be another 5,000 at the waterfront in Long Beach if he does.
The eggnog will be strong on Christmas Eve at the Sarkisian household if they lose this game.
It's gonna be Uncle Eddie from.
There's a lot of coaches in this playoff that really. And it's the next game we're talking about, but Sark, James Franklin, and I'm picking Texas too. So I think Sark will ease his a little bit, but going into the next game, like Ryan Day, like honestly, all three of those guys
jump right into it.
All three of those guys really need to not lose these. Like
Ryan Day is.
Well, the thing is, too, you're going to, like, with the all three of those guys make close to $10 million, if not more. A lot of that's about to start changing with these coaches, with this profit sharing, because you're going to have to give the players some of this money. Like, you just, you're going to have to. And I think you might start seeing some, and we've seen it. Who was it that someone restructured their contract the other day? Mike Norvell, yeah. Like, that's coming, and it is, I don't think the other two would get fired if they lose on Saturday. I do think Ryan Day will get fired if they lose.
100%.
That's 100%. Look, I'm in the same boat, man. And I think Ohio State, you know, this is the big game. This is, to be fair, the game I'm most excited for. I think this is the most evenly matched game. You got Tennessee fans claiming that they're going to turn 30% of that stadium orange. Good luck to them. But, yeah. You know, I look at Tennessee, I look at Ohio State. For Ohio State, how do they respond? That is the biggest embarrassment. Zuch called it, when we first reacted to that game, the most embarrassing loss Ohio State's ever had.
Yeah.
Realistically. Yeah. To Michigan.
100%.
How are they going to respond? And how are they going to respond with a depleted offensive line that's now down a couple starters, and already shaking offensive line to a team that has, you know, that guy Pierce for Tennessee, and those guys, they're coming. You know, a lot of this talks about the Penn State D-line. That Tennessee line is going to be coming.
Yeah, it is.
I was just about to say Tennessee's defense, in my opinion, is one of their best attributes. They fly around, man. Their defense keeps them in games, and they're good. Now, their offense, in my opinion, they normally start slow. You have that kid at quarterback. He normally it's got to get the gears turning. There's been some times where I'm like, all right, buddy, you're going to have to start slinging it. You're going to have to start putting it on the dime. You're 6'6". Let's get after it. So I think it's like, is Hubel and him get on the same page, and they can start fast offensively, and that defense just does what they do. I think this is just a recipe for disaster for Ryan Day. Now, I've been on the fence about who I'm picking. Like I said, this could be a – you know, it's at Ohio State. You know, Ohio State's defense, you know, they have 33, that edge rusher. I forgot what his name was, but he's excited, man. I mean, he was Sawyer. Damn near their whole team. Yeah, he was their damn near their whole team against Michigan. Nobody showed up to play besides that kid. So if I think
he didn't do anything worth winning for 4 years.
Well, yes. The Michigan guy, what's his name? Graham. He's just like, 4 years. And the car's like, and then you just have Ryan Day in his khakis looking like an absolute dumbass.
I will say, let's just say, this game in specifically, the coaching freakouts from both fan bases for the losing coach, we will even have Ohio State Ryan Day meltdown, or we will see some of the meanest and most heinous things said about Josh Heupel. Let's just say, he'll be wishing he was still called Pillsbury Dough Coach if he loses this game, which, again, very mean. Josh Heupel is a good coach. But Zuch, I wanted to talk to you about kind of where you stand on this game. And, you know, we've been talking the Tennessee team, and we laugh about it, post-Morgan Wallen walkout. So that's Alabama week, and pre-Morgan Wallen walkout. It's almost kind of been two different teams, right? Or I kind of want to get your thoughts on kind of Tennessee coming into this game.
I personally think this is a really bad matchup for Ohio State, because tennis, I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's going to be 20 degrees. Yeah, it will be. But Tennessee's offense isn't like the first couple years under Heupel, yeah, it was built on a, all right, we're going to air it out. And I still think he wants to do that, like air it out, score 40, 50 points a game.
Dude, the kid's capable.
They're a running, they're running team this year. Like, I think
I got Sampson.
Yeah, I think good. If this was Ole Miss in that game, Ole Miss would be at a bigger disadvantage than Tennessee based on, like, Ole Miss couldn't run the ball. Tennessee can run the ball. Mm-hmm. And I don't, like, I don't necessarily think the cold is going to play that much. I mean, Tennessee has nearly 3,000 rushing yards this year. So they're going to come in. And, I do think this is going to be, like, a 20-17 final. So I would be shocked if this was, like, 45-41. But I think they watched that Michigan game and are like, all right, these guys can't do anything on offense. I think it's going to be a similar game plan, but I think Tennessee can score more than Michigan can. Obviously, Michigan had like 1,000 yards passing all year long. So we'll see how Nico does, because that is going to be the toughest. But I don't even know. He played in Georgia. Like, they played at nighttime in Sanford Stadium this year. So I don't know, like, that to me is just as tough, if not tougher, than going to the Horseshoe and playing. I get it's a playoff game, but that Georgia game was a playoff game too. Georgia couldn't afford to lose that game. So it's not
that's true.
And they lost that one, but I think that was a good learning experience. It'll be cold. So I have Tennessee. I think
wow. Yeah,
I think there's Tennessee. A lot there is a lot of going wrong in Ohio, with Ohio State right now. They're like, I don't necessarily think there's a ton of pressure on Tennessee to win this game. Like, you got to the playoff, young quarterback. He's not, Josh Heupel's not getting fired. Like, this is the best run a Tennessee coach has had since Phil Fulmer in the late 90s and early 2000s. So 25 years, basically. But for Ryan Day, like, the four losses in a row to Michigan, not winning not even appearing in the Big Ten championship game, the $20 million you spent in NIL, they have to win. They legitimately, they have to win this game.
If they don't
all their eggs are in one basket, dude. And Day has been on the hot seat for God knows how long. This is a must win game for him. And it would just be the funniest shit if they lost. I think it would be hilarious because I'm just like, dude, that's just Ryan Day. I've been on the fence, but Tennessee, dude, I feel like Tennessee's going to come out and win. Not by a lot. Maybe a score, maybe a field goal like Zuch said, 2017 game. It's not – I just don't think both their offenses is completely high power to where it's going to go over 40 points. Like, we'll see.
I somehow see this weird kind of way this game's going. And it's like – back and forth a little bit, like you said, maybe in the 20s where it's scoring. And I, for some reason, I just envision like Will Howard making a throw to like win them the game, and then he's being a dork, and then the ESPN crew, probably Herb Street, the Ohio State homer himself, is going to be like, oh man, and I can just see them, and then Ohio State is going to get all pumped up again just for their ass kicking to Oregon in the semifinal. That's how I imagine this going. I know I'm projecting again, but you know, I actually got Ohio State in this game, guys. And it's essentially for one reason only. I think Nico Yamileva looks like a freshman on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, that could happen 100%.
And he's going to be fine. And I said before the year, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country on potential. This is a guy who's going to be. Could be a Heisman front runner.
6'6", dual threat guy. I mean, he could do it all, dude. I watched him in high school, man. The kid's good. But like you said, and we said in the beginning, it takes them a while to get the train rolling. And it's just it could be just a freshman game where he just waltzes in Ohio State, and he obviously is played in other hostile environments. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I do have my full bracket that I'm willing to put out there too. By the way, before we move on to.
All right, so let's get in. Those are all the game breakdowns. Let's get in to semifinal predictions and bracket. Zuch, I'm going to save you for last since you already got your whole bracket to see how it goes. I'm just going to keep this short and sweet to give you guys some more time. Number one, I'm reserving my national champion prediction because A, I'm a coward, and B, I don't know who I want to choose yet. So here's what I got in my semifinal. I see, of course, Notre Dame beating Indiana. Then I have Georgia beating Notre Dame. I got Penn State beating SMU. Big game, James. Loser. Boise State over Penn State. Then I got Oregon over Ohio State. And then I got Texas over Arizona State. Those are my four in my semifinal.
So Texas, Oregon, Boise State, Georgia.
Yes, sir. Keep it.
I have, let's see. Yeah, I have Texas obviously moving from Clemson. They're going to beat Arizona. I think that defense might just be a little bit too much. If they, they stop what's his face, it's going to be over for them. I have Tennessee beating Ohio State. I have Oregon beating Tennessee. I have Penn State beating SMU. And I obviously have the boys in blue, Boise State beating Penn State. James Franklin, count your days, brother. Indiana is going to be beating Notre Dame. I feel like Georgia's going to put that
signal. Cody, I'll give you $100 if Indiana beats Georgia in football.
You heard it. Wait, what? Can you repeat that?
Fuck, you're on, dude. I'll take that all day. But I can't take it. I mean, realistically, it's like I think they're just going to put out Cignetti. Put that cigarette butt out. I think the physicality might be too much, so I got Georgia semifinals. So, yeah, got Texas, Oregon, Boise, and Georgia.
Boise and Georgia. Okay, so I'm going to pull it up real quick. So I have Notre Dame, Georgia, in the Sugar Bowl. Georgia's going to win that, I'm pretty sure. I have Penn State beating SMU and then beating Boise State, even though I don't want it to happen. I just think it's a tough matchup. I'm going to go Penn State. That's the one I'm least confident in, though, if I'm being real. I have Tennessee over Ohio State, which I said, and then I have Oregon over Tennessee, and then Texas over Clemson, Texas over Arizona State. So my final four would be Texas and Oregon and Penn State and Georgia. And I have Kirby Smart, which he's been on this. He's been going on this trajectory for a while. He becomes the teacher playing his student in Dan Lanning. And we get the buildup of, how much has Oregon improved since they lost 56-3 or whatever the final score was a couple years ago when Oregon played Georgia. And I think that's where it's headed. I think it's going to be it just sets up too perfectly. I'm a storyline guy. You can have Nick Saban on there talking about what it's like to play against one of your former pupils. They'll have a little sit down like with Kirk Herbstreit where he's in his stupid white sneakers talking to Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart. So yeah, I have Georgia, Oregon, national championship. And I have Georgia winning the national championship.
That's not a bad prediction, Zuch. I think
my dad was saying the same thing, Zuch. Dude, Georgia, like, you know, like Kirby Smart is just gonna he's just gonna keep climbing Georgia, and they're gonna win the
Natty. It's like the Chiefs, not a bad it's prediction, like the Patriots. Man. Why hop off the train if it keeps chugging? Like, you know what I mean? It's like for the Super Bowl, I'm probably gonna pick the Chiefs. I'm literally probably gonna pick the Chiefs to win it because they just why pick anyone else?
Well, and a lot of it has to do with. There's quite a few teams in this year that if something were to happen, I don't know what that team does. Like if Dylan Gabriel got hurt, I think Oregon's in a lot of trouble, right? So
did Dante Moore, not a Moorhead?
No. But like it's what I was talking about kind of earlier with Notre Dame and Riley Leonard. I don't necessarily know that Carson Beck being out affects them like it would. You know, if like Will Howard got hurt, and I know Will Howard hadn't set the world on fire, but Georgia's just not, I mean, they're not built to where the quarterback, they let Justin Fields walk. They let, they've let quite a few guys just walk all for Stetson Bennett. Yeah, like they've had the five star, and like granted, Carson Beck and I'm blanking on his name, Gunnar Stockton, were highly recruited guys. But to me, they're kind of interchangeable. Like, Georgia won a lot this year despite Carson Beck's play. Like, truly, like, Carson Beck threw four interceptions, right, in the that first Texas game. Didn't play the second half the other day against Texas. Gunnar Stockton comes in. He didn't set the world on fire. Georgia comes back and wins. And I just think that there's a lot to be said for – I think Georgia is the most – Georgia and Oregon are the best overall teams. Mm-hmm. And I don't – like, I know Georgia had the loss to Alabama. They lost to Ole Miss. But I just have a hard time picking. I think – two losses to two teams right in, like, the thick of the playoff conversation, basically. I can't pick against them. So, yep, I have Georgia over Oregon. I think it'll be a great game. I think Dan Lanning is really building a powerhouse in Oregon, like, especially with, like, what he can do with NIL and all that stuff. There, he is a very good coach. He's young. There's no, like – at this point now in college football, unless maybe that Georgia, like Georgia or Alabama opened up, I don't see him leave. Like, I don't think he's going to leave Oregon to go to like USC or Ohio State or something like that. But you got a good young coach, great recruiter, fantastic motive. Like, I mean, he's a chip off the old block. He's like Kirby Smart. So
we'll see.
That's where I'm going. I trust those two as the coaches the most, and I trust them because of their whole team more than anyone else.
It's fair.
Although I do think it would be funny if Georgia played Texas for a third time because people would have a complete and total meltdown.
That was a national championship. That would be funny. It would also just be funny because you already know, like, Twitter would just be a nightmare. I mean, Twitter's going to be a nightmare anyway this weekend. So, I mean, speaking of Twitter being a nightmare, should we just do the list real quick? Do you guys have any list submissions?
I do. I have a couple.
All right. I'm pulling up as you know, Cody, you're welcome on the show for the first time this season. The list for the listeners is where we find tweets from the Burnerverse and college football Twitter, bring them to you because this is what's in our algorithm. And just remember, we do not condone nor support these. We are just the reporters bringing what we see to you. I'm going to kick it off. Actually, Cody, unless you have anyone on the list. You are muted, my friend. You've just made the list.
I don't. Might have you guys take the reins on this one. I'm not active on Twitter as you two are.
All right. Well, that's a good thing because my very first one, it comes from at Based Vols. And this guy has an AI version of a Tennessee Volunteer as his profile pic. So just chill. And this
you just
guy
know
is
it's
going to
be bad.
And he is replying to a tweet by one of the best guys in college football media, at Liam Blutman, runs the No Context College Football page. And Liam Blutman says, bizarre timing to pull these out, responding to if Notre Dame was going to wear the black uniforms. At Base Vols says, quotes it and just says, bizarre timing to pull this out, like he's mocking him, with a picture of the blobfish from Men in Black 3, saying Liam Blutman looks like that. Mean. The second one comes from at GatorJim352, and he tweets, why do you deserve to win the Heisman more than Travis Hunter? And let's just say it's a picture of a security guard that may or may not look like Ashton Gentry.
The last one. These SEC fans are fucking wild. That's a Florida one. Gator fan, ain't it?
I don't want to even.
Those guys are the worst.
I can't even, like, say this last one, but it's so funny. It comes from at Sky City. And it's a video from a clip from the movie Sing. You guys know the movie Sing? Yeah. You know, the animals that sing? And the quote is, Travis Hunter's dad's reaction to his son winning the Heisman. And if you remember in the movie Sing, there is a kid. I forget his name, but he's played by Taron Egerton. And he's singing, and he's going to win the vocal competition. And his dad is in prison and has to watch him through the prison. And in the video, he goes, that's my son. Watch
this. Stop.
it just needs to stop doing. But Zooch, I'll let you take it.
My first one is from Latour Disav, and it's at B1Grad. And it's a quote tweet, and the quote tweet is from ESPN. It says, "Breaking: Penn State quarterback Drew Aller has informed the school's coaching staff of his intention to return to the school for his senior year in 2025, sources told at Pete Thamel. The quote tweet just says, "Toronto Argonauts GM just fell to his knees in Tim Hortons." Drew Aller's working on it. And then I have...
not the Argonauts.
This one was probably the meanest one I've seen. And it was from at John Werner SAE.
That's picture, a bad account. That's just a...
Yeah. It was a picture of a Heisman finalist's mom, and it just says, "Imagine the amount of yards blank would have had if his mom was the pulling guard.
Needs to stop on the watch list
100%.
That's horrendous.
It's just not okay.
Some people just can't have Twitter.
They really shouldn't. And then my final one. It's another Heisman one, and it, let me find it. Where did it go? I just had it pulled up. No, I'm pissed.
Well, if you had it pulled up, well, the one thing I wanted to say was, you know.
Oh, yeah. It is a quote tweet. This is just a reply to the quote tweet. So the original tweet is Travis Hunter is just like talking about where he wants to go to school or something like that. And I'm not going to read the quote tweet of it, but someone responded, "Bro looks like Manny from Diary of a Wimpy Kid."
With the recruiting fucking picture when he's in high school.
Yep. And I didn't know who that was. So I looked up the photo and it is vile. That's just
the tooth and everything, dude. People are like, they're never going to let this down.
Jeez. It's just not okay.
So, you're egging it on, Cody, by laughing, just so you know.
Yes, Cody, come on. Have a heart. But no, honestly, we've had a lot of good lists this year, and the Heisman was good. You know, the one, I think it should have been one in the Settle Down Awards list of the year, because for me, would have probably gone to the Diego Pipavia's mom tweet, which is just beautiful. But no, the list was awesome. I can't wait to have more list tweets. Well, that wraps it up. Cody, we really appreciate you hopping on, dude. Man. It was a really good time.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Good insight and everything, but I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be parked up in a bar somewhere watching the games all of Saturday.
Zooch, what are you doing, guys doing Saturday?
What
are you doing?
Good old Troy is coming over, and he's getting in his New Yorker mode of like, I'll be like, oh, I felt bad for Travis Hunter because he won and people are making him out to be like this horrible person when he's a nice guy. He's just like, yeah, I hate that guy. It's like, he hasn't done anything to you, Troy. It's okay.
It's just the New Yorker in him, dude.
Hey, Troy, Lord help us if Boise State has to play the heathens of Pennsylvania and Penn State and Troy.
Oh, so he grew up a Penn State fan. So
he's a Penn State Mets fan, Jets fan. What a silly life.
What a silly life.
Oh, man, that's a silly sports life. But, guys, we really appreciate you guys listening to the show. Make sure you follow us at Settle Down Media on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Make sure you check out Cody's stuff, too, This About That show, as well as his fishing content on TikTok. Yes. Cody.
Please do. Whisker Fishing 208.
Are you able to flash your Whisker Fishing somehow?
Either
way, it's at Whisker Fishing 208.
Whisker Fishing 208. TikTok, YouTube, get at it. Follow me back, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Let's do it, man. Zooch, Cody, anything else before we sign off?
Go Broncos, baby. Go Broncos.
All right. As always, appreciate all you guys listening, and we will see you next week.